Kentucky in the morning, friend in green and blue.
I am the only candidate, the only candidate with a plan, a $30 billion plan to help coal country, to help coal miners.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:09. Today is Tuesday, May 17th, 2016. Welcome to another business day. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. We've got plenty of life and plenty of business for you this morning from around the globe and right here at home in the Chicago area. Lots making the news today. Donald Trump seems to be taking a lot of the headlines in Wall Street, on Wall Street, in Wall Street circles and in other financial circles. We'll tell you what he said coming up. We're also going to be talking with CNN Money's Heather Long in just a bit. But first, here's your overnight market intel from around the world from the WGN Market Desk. First, the Dow futures are pointing just tepidly to an open that'll be higher later on Wall Street, up just about 7 points this morning. The S&P NASDAQ pointing up just a bit as well. Asian markets generally higher this morning. Asian markets generally higher this morning. European markets generally higher as well this morning. A couple of things that we're watching today in terms of the stock market. It appears that Wall Street may be set for another choppy open today. We told you about those tepid future numbers. They've been struggling much of the morning for direction as investors try to assess a faded rally in oil prices and wait for key inflation data. The Dow futures, again, are being buoyed just a little bit by some of the stocks that were rallying yesterday. Shares in Apple were up a little bit yesterday. Other stocks as well, especially after Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway disclosed in a regulatory filing that he had bought stake in Apple and some other stocks. More broadly, U.S. stocks closed with gains across all three benchmarks on Monday as a surge in oil prices again led the rally. Tech stocks overshadowed weaker than expected manufacturing data from the New York region, oil in the driver's seat as we move into this business day today. Some other things that we'll be watching for you later today on the calendar. Federal government will offer a clearer picture of how the U.S. economy fared in April. The release of three reports this morning. The Labor Department releases the Consumer Price Index for the month. The Commerce Department releases housing starts. And the Federal Reserve releases industrial production. Any one of those could drive the markets as we move through the morning. They'll happen right around the opening bell later on this morning. Our main discussion today is going to be Donald Trump. Yesterday, British Prime Minister David Cameron stood by his description of Donald Trump's proposal for a temporary ban on Muslims entering the United States. He called it, in his words, divisive, stupid, and wrong. Trump, when asked about Cameron's criticism, says such comments indicate he is unlikely to have a good relationship with the British Prime Minister. Also yesterday, there was an editorial in Reuters that says win or lose, Trump could cause a recession. That's the headline. The Reuters writers saying that many of his ideas will be bad for the economy. That's sort of the same thing that Mark Cuban said yesterday. He, of course, the owner of the NBA's Dallas Mavericks. He was on CNN yesterday. And here's what he said about Trump and the danger to the economy.
All right. So you say you won't run, but yet, Mark, I know you are warning that a Trump presidency, could be dire. You think stocks, for example, could crash. I mean, it's a significant thing to say. How bad could it be?
Well, let's take a step back, first of all. You know, where Donald has come from to today, you would think that he'd be more knowledgeable on the issues, that we would look at what he's had to say and say, you know what, he's really picked up some in-depth knowledge. He's nuanced on different topics, whether it's immigration, whether it's a jobs plan, whether it's the economy, whatever it may be. But that just hasn't happened. And to me, that's a problem. It's apparent that he really hasn't invested the time to really do a deep dive and understand, you know, the issues that we're facing. And
as for a couple of specifics, he then went on to say,
I can say with 100% certainty that there's a really good chance we could see a huge, huge correction. Even today, there was an article in Reuters that said that Carl Icahn, supposedly someone who's supporting Donald and is mentoring him in economics and finance, has taken on a huge 150% short position. That's not a good thing. That's horrific. And so all those people had looked at him and say, you know what? This is the guy to take on the establishment. This is the guy to change the game. Something that I hoped would happen. Unless he comes up with some concrete examples of what he's going to do, it could really turn Wall Street up and down. And all those 401ks from all his followers, their net worth could fall further than Donald's would.
Mark Cuban yesterday on CNN. We're going to be talking with Heather Long about this and other parts of the economy, economic news this morning as we move forward with the opening bell this morning.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, tech shares were boosted by word that billionaire Warren Buffett had invested in Apple. The S&P 500 responded with a 20-point rise. The Dow Jones picked up 175. The NASDAQ advanced 58 points. Officials in Singapore are investigating Hyundai vehicles after reports of accidents involving sudden acceleration while reversing. South Korean consumers have lodged complaints about accidents they believe were caused by unintended accelerations. Two companies have proposed offshore wind power projects for federal waters off Oahu. The plans would use technology that floats the massive turbines in deep waters miles offshore. Hawaii has set a goal for its utilities to use 100% renewable energy by the year 2045. And the Wall Street Journal says Amazon is planning to expand store brand items it sells to new categories, including food and household products. The online retailer already sells an array of private label products, but food would be a new category. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
It's 519. Welcome back to the program. In our first segment, you heard Mark Cuban yesterday on CNN Money talking about Donald Trump and possibly his impact on the markets and the stocks. And we heard the Reuters commentary, also the UK mess. Let's bring in Heather Long of CNN Money. Heather, it was a busy day yesterday with Donald Trump making headlines all over Wall Street. Let's start first with what Mark Cuban said. Is Donald Trump a danger to Wall Street?
Well, that's certainly what he said last night on CNN, predicting huge losses for the stock market. He said at one point it would be potentially more than 20%, so what we call a bear market, if Trump is elected. But I have to say, Steve, I think this has been one of the big conundrums this spring is why the stock market, all the political headlines and pundits keep talking about this uncertainty, this unusual political season that we're in, and the stock market just really isn't reacting yet to it. So, Mark Cuban's obviously in the camp that thinks there should be more fear. I've written pieces as well questioning whether or not just Donald Trump would cause uncertainty for investors in the business community. But even Hillary Clinton is a bit of a question mark in terms of the policies she's laid out and whether those would be good for the market. But so far, the reaction that I get when I talk to a lot of traders is, you know, it's just so crazy. It's hard to predict what they're going to do. And we think that either candidate would err on the side of caution.
I have just a little bit of anecdotal evidence. We had yesterday on our program the CEO of GMM Coatings in Chicago, Ravin Gandhi, who does a lot of business around the world. And he talked a little bit about Donald Trump. He's been on CNBC and others talking about this. And he's already seen concern among his CEO fellows around the globe about some of the trade policies that Donald Trump. So there is the discussion, at least, and there is a little bit of concern among some of these CEOs. But is that enough to warrant any sort of movement or decision? Or I guess the question is, how should we react to that?
Exactly. Because when you listen to Donald Trump's statements, he is often purposely vague and sort of trying to be a little bit everything to everyone. So when you try to pin him down on these trade policies, he's obviously said comments like he would put a tariff or a tax on goods coming in from China or Mexico to try to get those jobs back. That tax could be, he's thrown out numbers as high as 35%. But then when you try to pin him down, would you really do that? That could cause a recession. Experts and CEOs kind of agree how bad that would be for the U.S. economy. Then he'll say, oh, no, I don't really mean 35%. That's just a hypothetical number. That's everything to him is negotiable, right? That's his key word, negotiable. And that's kind of, that's my starting point. kind of philosophy. And that's where I think people are having trouble assessing what would he really do, and would he really do anything to hurt business that much.
We also have to mention here that if people don't watch television, that Mark Cuban is the co-star of ABC's Shark Tank. So it's one reality TV guy talking about another reality TV guy. And you really kind of had that two cents to it, don't you?
I think you have to. And last week, Mark Cuban also made some inflammatory comments about Trump. It was the big gathering called SALT, S-A-L-T, which is the big gathering of kind of hedge fund managers and other big billionaires and celebs. They meet in Vegas once a year to talk about ideas. And Mark Cuban got up there last week and said that Hillary Clinton should pick him as vice president, as her running mate, because A, he doesn't like Trump, and B, he thought he could go toe-to-toe with Trump in terms of throwing out the slurs and the one-liners. So, I think we're on you have to be a little bit putting that into context.
Well, I hate spending all of our time talking with you about Donald Trump, so I'm going to move on to what's really affecting the markets this morning, if you don't mind. The world markets this morning seem to be in a wait-and-see mode for what's coming later in the U.S. With reports out today. There's also, it just seems sort of, you know, uneasy this week. What are you reading from the markets around the world?
Yeah, uneasy was certainly the word, I would say, heading into May. And then we had a slew of bad retail reports from companies like Kohl's and Macy's. But I tell you, it's really turned around on Friday. And we saw that nice bounce yesterday in the market, almost a 200-point rally in the Dow. We're looking like we're going to hold those gains this morning, looking like it'll open just up a little bit, but at least keeping those gains from yesterday. And the big surprise for everyone was the Friday retail sales report. It was the best gain in April in a year. And basically, we seem to be having a bit of deja vu. What happened in 2014 and 2015, we had that winter slump, and then suddenly people came out in the spring, consumers started buying again, and the economy really rebounded. And so far, suddenly it looks like that might be happening again. There was also a big bounce in consumer confidence. The other key factor, and we've been talking about it all of 2016, of course, is oil. And a lot of people are watching oil is getting very close, the crude oil, to the $50 a barrel mark. We haven't been back there in a while. And so that also seems to be lifting the spirits of the market. I mean, nobody wants to see oil really shoot up, but certainly to get back to a number around 50 that would be profitable for a lot more producers of energy.
I was seeing on CNN Money reporting on the earnings season and how some of these companies who are reporting earnings may not be actually telling us the whole story. Is it something, as we watch Home Depot report earnings today, that we should look at with maybe a jaded eye?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And in terms of, are people doing more accounting tricks these days? No doubt about it. I think where we are in the economic cycle, it's harder to make those big growth moves that compared to where we were coming out of the recession, where it was easier to cut costs and then to see some growth and rebound. I think for me, again, I continue to say 70% of the economy is driven by people going out and spending. So for me, the big reports this week are really Target on Wednesday before the bell and Walmart on Thursday before the bell. So again, many of us go to those shops, or we know people who go to those shops. That touches everyone, and I'm most interested to see what those reports say.
Heather Long of CNN Money. You can follow her on Twitter at @ByHeatherLong. And, of course, watch CNN Money and visit CNN Money, money.cnn.com all day long. Good stuff. Heather, thanks for being with us on the opening bell this morning.
You too. Take care.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It's 5:38. Welcome back to the program. Researchers posing as patients with skin problems sought help from 16 online telemedicine companies. And the results are not all that encouraging for an area of healthcare that will likely be vital to the future of medicine. As more and more baby boomers age and need healthcare, they'll have to use technology to access medical care in many cases. ABC News correspondent Mark Remillard is covering this story. It is a Journal of the American Medical Association study that's out, and he's with us from New York this morning. So the first study of this, Mark, the results not so good.
Yeah, so this was a study that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. It was kind of an undercover thing. These researchers put up fake accounts with posing as patients who had issues and medical conditions. And then they went to 16 online telemedicine companies so they could get a consultation. And they found some disturbing things in terms of doctors misdiagnosing things, some of them prescribing medication without ever even getting someone's medical history or really telling them about the side effects. And so really the study raised a lot of questions and concerns about the quality of some of these telemedicine companies and is kind of calling for that to be looked into and making sure that they're operating across the board in a responsible manner and that people are getting the treatment that they need and not missing things.
Well, what are these telemedicine companies? How are they supposed to operate? How are they set up?
Yeah, so essentially they're online consultations that you can have, and this was dermatology related. So people, you could go on and say, you know, I have this rash, and you might be able to send a photo to a doctor or a physician, and they might be able to give you a consultation and tell you, oh, that looks like it's psoriasis or something like that. And actually the study found that when it was things like that, things where simply looking at it, they could determine what it was. They did pretty well, but when it when they had a condition that required a lot more investigative techniques, diagnosing techniques, for example, secondary syphilis or something like that, that's where they really failed, or didn't fail, but many of them did not do very well at catching those things. And so they were either misdiagnosing it or simply not asking the questions that they should. But part of the reason that this is a growing industry is because this is a very cheap option. For example, many dermatologists don't accept Medicaid, and so these online visits can only cost maybe $35 to $95. And so it's a cheaper option for a lot of people, but the question is, okay, but are you now not getting the treatment that you should?
How prevalent are these companies? Are they more likely to be found in one state over another?
This was not a study that looked state by state. This took place solely in California. But across the board, it's a growing industry. For example, this year, they expect to see more than 1 million virtual medical visits this year. So this is a very fast growing industry. And this is something that insurers and providers are interested in as well because of the low cost of it. So this will be something that will continue to grow, and now this report is really looking at, okay, as this is starting to grow and become a very popular method of meeting with your doctor, okay, what are the pitfalls of that? And then two, where can we make sure that quality is maintained? Can we set up procedures or guidelines that these physicians and these websites follow? Because one of the other things that happened was, in a couple cases, some of the websites were linking patients up with doctors who were overseas, and so they are not even licensed to practice in the state where this study was taking place. And so there's some big concerns there about whether or not the credentials are there, and so they want to see a quality control basically over this industry.
Does this just seem like, or look like, it's going to be something that's going to have to be overseen nationally instead of state by state?
Yeah, and I think that that's part of what they were calling for. They were calling for the report essentially saying they want to get regulators, policymakers, insurance companies, the payers, together to start creating a set of principles to govern these websites by, and then also discourage the websites that are fragmented or giving low quality care and the ones that are kind of skirting, especially once there may be a set principle across the country or by state those websites would be encouraged, and the ones that really adhere to the qualities that could be set in place, those are the ones that are encouraged. And so, yes, this is there is definitely a call here for a look at this through the lens of policy and through the lens of regulation.
All the experts say that the future of medicine is telemedicine. A lot of us are going to have to use this at some point, so we probably should get this in order now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, because this is such a growing industry and it's cost saving, this is something that will likely continue to grow. But at this point, if you are not if you're being told to take medication without being told what the side effects are, or even having your doctor ask a basic question about what your medical history is, that's a big concern. Or if they're simply misdiagnosing things in general. And so I think for this industry to continue to grow and for customers and patients to feel comfortable, I think there has to, you've got to imagine that at some point, if more studies continue to come out showing problems, then this might be a very detrimental thing to the industry. So I think the industry, you might see them in their own self-preservation begin to look at this stuff and say, okay, no, we need to make sure that people trust us. And so that I'm not going to pay $35 or $95 to go on a telemarketing, a telemedicine website, but still have to go get a second consultation because I'm not sure about the quality of the telemedicine website. So I think we'll see I think we'll see that improvement, especially if policy and regulation gets involved.
ABC News correspondent Mark Remillard, thanks for being with us on the opening bell this morning from New York. The breaking news this morning from the world of business, Home Depot has reported earnings this morning before the bell. Home Depot has reported fiscal first quarter profit of $1.8 billion. On a per share basis, the Atlanta-based company says it had net income of $1.44. Results are beating Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of 11 analysts surveyed said it would be about $1.33 per share. The home improvement retailer posted revenue during the period to beat street forecasts. They say that their shares and profits have increased because more people are apparently going to the Home Depot to do home projects and start those spring DIY projects. Also this morning, just in from Geneva, the World Health Organization's chief says the agency's becoming increasingly worried about the Zika virus, even though it is stopping short of canceling or postponing the upcoming Rio de Janeiro Summer Olympics. In a briefing that's just concluded in Geneva this morning, the head of the World Health Organization says the more we learn about Zika, the more worried we get about it. But again, they stop short of urging that the Olympics be canceled in Rio de Janeiro. This Zika virus has been affecting mainly South America and countries where these mosquitoes are very prevalent, but again, stopping short of calling for a cancellation of the Summer Olympics, which would be unprecedented.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. 549 Dow futures this morning really not budging as we get some pre-market earnings reports. Other information coming in this morning, Dow futures holding steady up about 14 points. S&P, NASDAQ futures just up a little bit as well. Let's get the latest on commodities now. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Steve, thank you very much and good morning. We slowed down a little bit in planting progress last week. Showers moving across the heart of the area did have an effect. But we have 75% of the nation's corn acres planted. That's an increase of 11% from a week ago, and it's above average. Illinois, 83% planted. Iowa, 88% planted. And Indiana, 45%. But in Wisconsin, 76% of the corn crop has been planted. And in soybean planting, nationally, 36% of the soybean acres planted. Iowa leading in the Midwest with 43%, followed by Illinois, 29%, Wisconsin at 33%, and Indiana at 15%. The other event yesterday took place in Oregon. That's worth noting. Back in 2014, voters in the county approved to ban genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, from being planted. Well, today, a judge struck that down, and so that will not take effect. Wheat yesterday moved lower on big supplies and better crop conditions. Soybeans also dropped yesterday. Corn edged higher after Informa Economics forecast slightly higher U.S. soy plantings. And in livestock trade yesterday, we saw live cattle futures landing in positive territory after investors bought deferred months and then sold the June contract. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
It's 5:52 as the opening bell continues this morning. There are concerns in many communities about a device that's being used. State lawmakers, among now others in the nation, who are looking to put limits on the use of stingray devices, suitcase-sized equipment used to track cell phone use and try to catch the bad guys without a search warrant. ABC News and WGN correspondent Ryan Burrow is with us this morning. here on the opening bell. Ryan, what are these devices and what are lawmakers doing about them?
They're suitcase-sized devices, electronic devices, and they're used by police forces across the country, not just in Chicago and Illinois, but across the country to essentially detect and track cell phone use of the bad guys, right? That's what the intention is, to kind of track where they are at any given point, maybe some of the text message, maybe some of the interactions they're having. But while they're doing this, it's essentially mimicking a cell phone tower, and it's also pulling information from dozens, hundreds, maybe even thousands of people in a neighborhood that just so happen to be getting pulled into this tracking device.
So is it a situation where the police can hear in real time these conversations, or is it more of a data collection?
No, it's more of a data collection. Although, to be honest with you, many of these police forces aren't exactly coming forth with what it is they're collecting or what it is they're doing. So it leads some to think, well, maybe they are listening into my phone calls because they're not being very forthright about what it is they're taking and what it is they're looking for.
And so in Illinois, we're one of those states that require really a warrant to do any of this stuff, even for the bad guys. How's the state fighting this, or how are privacy advocates fighting
it? Well, and the ACLU has lawsuits going across the country for the use of this technology. As I mentioned, most of the police forces aren't really talking much about it, including in Chicago, where there is a lawsuit. Now, in Illinois, state lawmakers are considering a measure right now that does two things. Number one, it does limit the use of this device to warranted activities. You have to go to a judge, get the warrant. Hey, we're tracking this guy. This is the reason why. And the judge says, okay, you can track him. But obviously, it's pulling all this other information as well. You know, the device itself doesn't appear to be able to, really hone in on one individual person. So the other question is, what do you do with all this information that's also being pulled in? So the legislation going through right now, it already passed the Illinois Senate. It's going through the House. It already passed through a committee, is to say, after 3 days, any information that's not useful or not part of this warrant will get purged.
And so this brings up another question about just, you know, how private our conversation is. You and I are having a conversation on a cell phone, you know, you and somebody else. Is it the privacy advocates' belief that none of these conversations are really, really private? In the end,
I mean, that's the concern. And then, you know, we're still at the very early stages of this technology. And as a result, I think everyone's trying to kind of hone in as to how it should be used, when it should be used. I mean, we're obviously post 9/11. Security concerns are big. Obviously, I'm sure a lot of these police agencies, law enforcement, would love to get a handle on, gun smuggling, drug smuggling, those kind of things. And they think this is another tool that can be used. But until the courts define what it is and how, and keep in mind, too, this is also being considered in Congress, although, you know, it could move a little bit slower than in some of these states. 12 states right now already have laws like this on the books, and Illinois could very well be one of those in the near future.
You mentioned that the ACLU had lawsuits active on these things. Is there any attempt in these lawsuits to find out what this material was being used for? Go back and look?
Yeah, there's one company, Epic, has filed a lawsuit, and that worked its way through court and determined that the FBI was wrong in use of these devices. But I mean, at this point, it's not kind of a whole blanket approach. It's kind of a situation by situation. And as a result, you know, there's no defined if A then B at a national level. And so all these localities are trying to figure it out.
Is this something that the governor has said he would sign if it gets to his desk?
We haven't heard much from him on this. It's being pushed by Daniel Biss, and we'll see how it shakes out. It could happen very soon. And obviously, Chicago is a big focal point for that. What Chicago police have as a resource and what tools. And, you know, as we saw through the Laquan McDonald situation, transparency and openness among the police department is something that's really being harped on right now.
Are police departments saying that they have used this technology to get bad guys off the street?
Well, I mean, that's what they're saying. But I mean, as I mentioned, various police and law enforcement are using it in different ways in different parts of the country, and more are being forthright than others as to how it's being used and why it's being used. Obviously, they don't want to show all their cards to let everyone know, you know, what it is, how they're going after people. But, you know, it might all come to the limelight at some point.
WGN's Ryan Burrow with us this morning here on the opening bell, talking about those Stingray devices. And we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of the opening bell. Until then, have a great day. It's 5:58.